Hey everybody, Shelly Hoffman here with one of my absolute favorite people in this world and best friends, Laura Stisser. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. So even though I've done a ton of these podcasts, this is the first time Laura's actually doing one of the podcasts with me. So thank you.
Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. She did ask me if it was live and I thought, do you ever watch my podcast, Laura?
It's been a while.
So as most people know, this podcast is about kind of changing and evolving and adapting. And one of the things I always tell my kids is when I was little, I always thought there was check boxes. You know, graduate high school, check. You go to college, check. You get married, check. Have kids, check. And I was just checking the boxes, right? And wow, once I quit checking those boxes, life got a lot more fun, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. So Laura and I have been friends for about 15 years. We just figured it out. Mm-hmm. And probably about 10 years ago is when we both kind of didn't have a sit down conversation saying, hey, let's pivot our lives. It was just, I started going through the divorce, which, you know, and I'm not really sure what was going on in your mind. So that's kind of the reasons I wanted to bring you in, but you took a turn towards acting, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So your background, if I remember correctly, before we met, you worked for like in a sales position. Would that be accurate?
More of HR, like HR. Recruiting. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
And I know you were you worked at Price Chopper, right? And
yeah, my early days. Yeah, I was a loss prevention manager. So that there is lots of stories there that there's not enough time for those. and there's no wine here. So yeah.
That's a different podcast.
That's right.
We'll do that when we're in our 70s, maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, so your background really wasn't towards acting. So what made you just one day, you know, you were talking to Katrina and I, you said, this is something I think I want to do.
I've always loved movies. I've always loved award shows my whole entire life, but I never had like any raw talent. Like I wasn't a great singer. I didn't take dancing lessons, nothing like that. I painted sometimes. But then I turned 50 and, I had a bucket list, and one of my bucket list was to audition for something. And my good friend, Rachel Grange, who used to live here, she did some things at the Red House. She's like, listen, we're having auditions and you need to do this because you said you want to do it. So now you got to do it. And yes, if I say I'm going to do something, I will do it. It's a fault of mine, unfortunately.
And it's my a great
friends,
fault.
Yeah, that my friends can't forget. So I actually had my son, Ben, who was 14 at the time, do this audition with me because he always had talent. He always made me laugh. And I asked him to do it with me so I had support, but I also wanted him to do it so he could actually do it because I thought he did have talent. So we went to Red House and we auditioned in front of 15 people. Like we walked in our first audition. We didn't have any music. We had to do a 60-second song and a monologue. And it was the most horrific, scary thing ever for both of us. But then we walked out and I said to Ben, how do you feel? And he's just like, Mom, I feel like I can do anything. And it was like the best drug in the whole world. I mean, not that I've done a lot, but the ones I did, it was like the best, just the adrenaline rush, everything. And then we both got callbacks. And then it just went from there. We kind of did some plays together. And then I kind of went on my own and took some acting lessons with Tanner Effinger, who is a staple here in Syracuse. And I just took off. And I had some very, very cool young people that knew the business take me under their wing and tell me the do's and the don'ts. And there's lots of do's and don'ts. They pretty much protected me just so I didn't crash and burn right away. And I always said, I'm going to pay it forward. And I have. Anytime anybody asks me for anything, favors, how to do this, how do you submit this, whatever it is, I have no problem doing it.
I, as you know, I do teaching for real estate, and there's two instructors that I met very early into it, and they both say you pay it forward, right?
Yeah.
And what goes around comes around, and you help people. What would you say, I know you did the audition and you got the call back, but what would you say the first time you thought, oh my goodness, I'm actually going to make it. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm not going to stop. Like, what was the momentum like that kept you kind of moving towards it?
I've never been happier doing anything. Like, I mean, I'll try anything. Like I'll sports or this and that. I won't ski ever again. But anything else. And I have never been more satisfied than acting. And I can be whatever I want, whoever I want. And when I put a smile on people's faces or I bring a tear to their eyes, it's like the biggest compliment in the whole world. So that's what keeps me going.
What's your favorite? Because I know, like, I've seen you in plays. I've seen you now in movies. You did a voiceover, if I remember correctly. Like, is it a mix of everything? Is there something you love more? Like, if you had to spend your time doing it, what would it be?
I love theater. I have utmost respect for theater actors. I think it's a really hard thing to do. I love it because it's immediate gratification. You know, you're on stage and you have an audience in front of you. And the adrenaline is amazing. And you form a family because you're rehearsing for weeks and weeks. And then the worst thing about a play is that when it's over, you go into this state of depression because it's over. So like, what do I do now? And that part kind of sucks, but I can't do as much theater as I want because I love doing films. And films are kind of quick and dirty. You know your lines, you get on set, you film them. But I have a manager, so I can't say, hey, I'm going to take a month and a half off to do a play that she's not going to make any commission on, and I can't do any films. So it's hard, you know, unless it's a Broadway thing, which I highly doubt that's ever going to happen. You never know.
You never know.
Put it out there. I can throw it out there. But yeah, the films are, they're I have to say quick and dirty. Like, it's, you know, you can do multiple films before you can do one play. And I'm a very A type, as you know. So I'm good with that. I'm really good with that.
Which, you know, again, I'm learning that business a little bit just through our conversations, whether it's a bunco or a night out with dinner, golfing, whatever we're doing. But I guess I didn't realize that with the play you do, you connect with every single person. But a lot of times you'll tell me, we'll go to watch one of your movies and you never really met somebody that's on set because they were filming on a different day.
Yeah. That, right? Different scene. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's I always thought that was kind of interesting that it looks like the same as a play. Like, everybody's kind of in loops together, but yeah, it's not really that way.
The difference is, like, you know, it's a 2-hour play as opposed to when we film a feature film, it could take a month, you know, it could take, depending on if it's just weekends or if it's during the week, it could take, you know, 5 days. Usually if it's during the week, they'll take the weekends off. So it depends on the production, if it's a SAP production or if it's an indie production, the budget, all that. So
let's go. Again, I've watched you for the last 10 years. So I know where you started. I know where you are now, and I know where you kind of want to be. Mm-hmm. Right. She did threaten to knock me off her thank you list one time when I said something smart. So I'm tiptoeing around this interview just a little bit, but I would like to hear my name get thanked at least once in a speech. But going back to the beginning, I mean, there was a lot of rehearsals. Like Katrina, one of our friends, she read lines with you, right? Like, it didn't just happen. So can you go back like 8-10 years ago when, I mean, it was a lot.
It was a lot because I didn't know what the hell I was doing, really, you know? So it was more of taking a lot of Zoom classes and reading books. And again, just talking to people. And one of the biggest struggles is to get a good reader, because it's great when you get an audition, but unless you have somebody to play against, it's impossible. And you know, you could do your own lines and your own voiceover and go back and forth, but they always know it. You can disguise your voice, they always know it, and it just sounds really awkward. So Katrina would read for me. You read for me quite a few times. My kids were tortured. tortured for reading for me, because they're both in high school. Ben was more natural at it, because again, he's more of an actor. Shelby would do it because she loves me, but she didn't love it. But yeah, and then Mike would try, and you know, he would help me read, but it was just he was better doing what he was doing, and I was better doing what I was doing. And that's the cool thing about it, is that, you know, he's tech. And I'm more the art side of it, which is probably why we're getting along so well and been married for so long.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Another struggle you had, though, was even finding the space, like, to record.
Yeah.
Right? Because you were judged from hitting the record button until you end it.
Yeah.
So if the dogs bark or someone opens the door, or, you know, it's like all these little things that you don't really think about that make that audition, that tape.
Well, yeah. And, you know, up to 2020, the auditions weren't, I did a couple of self-tapes in 2018, 2019, but it didn't start to be only self-tape until after COVID. But it really did broaden my horizons too. and I think I told you the stat before, it's before COVID, you know, if you got a job, you did 25 auditions and you got a part, that was good for an actor, which sounds terrible, but that's good. Yeah. Now, because of self-taping, it's 40-1.
Wow.
So it's definitely opened doors for me, for sure, 100%. But it's opened a lot of doors for a lot of other people too. So, but I mean, that's the only blessing about COVID is that it really helped my career, you know.
When you said that the people that helped you kind of took you in. So a lot of the productions that you were doing when you first started, they were student films,
yeah,
correct?
Yep.
So was the students, was it people that you met on the student films or?
Not so much the students. I think it was just really people that were local. Like I said, Tanner and Claire Lopez. Claire lives in Florida now, and she has her own business down there, and she's a wonderful actor. Those are the two, when I say young people, that really, like I said, took me by their wing. And then the rest of it was just Zoom training. Like, I have a business coach, her name is Valerie Hubbard, she's amazing. And I've had multiple coaches over the years, and I finally found my person. Her name is Cam Monet. So it's really that. And then again, my support system here was my friend group and my family. And without that, there's no way I would have continued. No way.
So two questions came to mind. The first one is networking. So again, I'm in real estate,
yep.
Any business, it's all about networking, making connections. It sounds like acting is pretty much the same. Like, you have to put yourself out there, right?
Yes, you do. You don't have a choice. Yes, you have to, you're your entrepreneur, your own, you know, manager, there's nobody else that's working for you. So, and yes, I have a manager, but I will say this, honestly, 95% of the jobs I've gotten in the last 10 years, I've gotten on my own. And that's just a stat. That's just a true stat. You know, it's nice to have a manager, but you really have to work for yourself and you have to know the business, and you cannot be afraid to reach out to people. So one of the things my business coach had said is to start doing pitch videos and send them to not just casting directors, but producers, writers, directors.
So what's a pitch video?
A pitch video is something that you do live, and it's like your 60-second elevator speech. So what your brand is and what you've done, where you can see me, let's connect, you know, would love to have a meeting with you, basically.
So I'm assuming you have something that's not Facebook in the acting world. Right, where people can see. I think they're called reels. Or what did you say you were putting together? You were really excited the first time that you had enough content.
Oh, demo reel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So where do you post those?
I post that's on my website. I posted it on my Instagram page. It's on my Laura Stitcher acting page for Facebook. On YouTube, things of that nature. And that demo reel has changed dramatically over the years. Like, I would have enough to make 4 demo reels now, but it's just, you know, after a while you cut out, there's certain things you don't put on your demo reel anymore because you don't need to.
Yeah.
Because you've grown, you know?
So when when people ask me, you know, what roles have you played, and you've played a lot of them, I have to tell you, I share that you were a zombie in one of the first plays that you ever did as an extra. And then the film that actually brought tears to my eyes was the most recent one we saw the premiere in, and I apologize, I can't remember the name of it.
844.
Yes, but yeah. You were a zombie in that one, but you were a mom zombie, and I won't give away the ending, but I didn't cry the first time you were a zombie, but the second time you were a zombie, there were tears. But
yeah, I was definitely, I definitely get the mom role a lot, and for a while there, I was super psyched because I was working, I didn't care what I did, you know, I didn't care if I, you know, had cow dung on my shovel and I was just like, hi, you know what I mean? It didn't really matter. But then you do get pigeonholed sometimes. So then it was nice when I started getting different roles, you know, the therapist, the lawyer, whatever. But yeah, I'm still down with doing the mom because I am a mom. It comes naturally. But I've done the psycho mom. I've done the alcoholic mom. I've done the drug addict mom. I've done the PTA mom. I've done the helicopter mom. So
wait, are we talking about your roles or your life?
Yes.
Yeah. And headshots come in, you know, because again, you've had headshots. Obviously, Katrina does, Grady does amazing photos. She does your headshots. She does a lot of my photography and stuff. But even like you've gone to New York City, because sometimes the roles you're looking for, you almost need a certain angle or something. you know, that's a piece of it. That's your marketing.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Katrina does an amazing job. In fact, my main headshots right now are done by her and I love them. And nobody's said anything about changing them for a while. And I mean, at this age too, it's nice because I'm not going to change much, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I did go to New York because there are specific headshot photographers that they know that there's a tone. So there's a certain light behind you or a certain look in your face, or you can say, they'll say something to you, which will get that look in your eye. So yeah, it's definitely an art form for that.
But
Katrina did an amazing job the last time we got together.
Yeah. Well, even you had mentioned Ben, and I know Ben maybe dabbled with possibly being model or something like that.
Yeah.
And he had some gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
Yes. That was a gentleman out of Albany who did my headshots before, Dan Doyle. He did a fantastic job as well.
So the reason I'm asking, is that even a connection? Like, you know what I mean? Or is it just too broad?
You mean for networking?
Yeah.
Not really, not for the photographer end of it, because they're in their own business and their own networking. I mean, I will always like throw names out for people that need somebody, because I think, you know, again, pay it forward. As far as networking goes, for me, I would go to film festivals and I would absolutely research the directors that are there. And then sometimes even Google their faces. So if I see them in the crowd or at the cocktail parties, at least I can approach them and say, hey, I saw that you did X, Y, and Z. I'm really looking forward to your movie today. Or I saw it and I loved your movie. So, and it's genuine. You know, I'm not going to walk up to somebody if I don't really believe in their product, because I don't want to be associated with something I don't like, you know? So it's important that you feel like very confident about who you work with. And that's one thing you always do as an actor. For myself, I research the director, I research the production company. Because I want to give them 110%. So I want, you know, to see what they got.
So, and I'm going to say this for you, cause you won't say it, but the amount of time, effort, and energy, that you put into it, especially in the beginning and then moving forward. I mean, there's so many times you say, hey, there's a concert we want to go to, or there's this, great restaurant we want to try. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm headed to New York, or I want to try, you know, I'm going to go audition, or I have to practice my lines. And a lot of times you squeeze in, mm-hmm. and you say, let me figure this out, or we, you know, push things back or whatever to make it work. But I think sometimes people forget it doesn't come natural. Like, it's something you have to work at, stay on top of, and that comes with a price. So I told you I was going to ask you, right? Like, I joke that I can't remember Allison's third grade teacher because I was so busy on my business when she was in third grade that I've lost that entire year of my kids. Right.
Yes.
So what were some of the things that you had to give up in order to make this work?
As far as people in my life, my friends are my friends. They've backed me up 100%. And the ones that didn't aren't in my life anymore. And then as far as, what was the second part?
Just time, like things that you don't have enough time for anymore.
Oh, well, I did. The one thing I have not done in 2 years, actually, in September, it's been 2 years since I painted.
Oh, and an amazing painter.
Oh, thank you.
I have two of your
paintings
in my house.
Yes, you do. I was painting for years. I painted 10 years before I even had an audition, and I did it the last 8 years. And then after a while, I'm going to my friend's studio, Sandy Sabine. She's an amazing studio and an artist, Liverpool Art Center, just so you know. And I was kind of dreading in my head, what am I going to paint? Because I had this audition on my brain, or I knew I had something coming up that I had to act in. And it was just kind of my creative part here, the brain, the process was just being too challenged. And I wasn't enjoying the painting anymore. And I told her that, and she completely understood. And I miss her deeply, and I miss all the friends I had in art class. But you have to come to terms when, you know, and too much is too much.
Yeah.
And I don't regret it. I do want to paint again someday. And maybe one day I'll just take my paints out, who knows. But for right now, I'm really focused 100% on the acting.
That is true. If you have, and I'm guilty of this all the time, like I have a lot of balls up in the air and then all of a sudden they're all falling around me and I have to pick which, you know, which one am I going to catch and focus it on again?
Yeah.
But I was wondering, I think the last thing I really remember you doing with your art was you were teaching pour classes, you know, to pour.
Yeah.
And you haven't really talked about art as much. And I'm thinking, when on earth do you have time to do it?
Yeah.
So again, that was probably hard, but.
Yeah, it really was. It was a definitely a hard decision to make. But I think, again, it was sometimes you just gotta, you know, you gotta make that break.
And so going through the 10, almost 10 plus years now that you've been in acting, when are times you thought you were going to quit or it wasn't going to work out, or maybe the money wasn't going to be there, right? Because you spend a lot of money for the classes and, you know, and all the different things that you do, right? There's got to be this breaking point. So
yeah, I first of all, I would not be able to do any of this unless I had my husband's support. He is my sugar daddy when it comes to this. And I love him.
Mike.
I do. Mike. Yes. Everybody loves Mike. He's a fantastic person. So financially, he has helped me get the training, you know, do the classes, et cetera. I can say the year before last year was the first year I made money. So I've made money the last couple of years. And this year is better than last year was. It is a very slow process. It is not Hollywood glitz and glamour. I am a working actor. I'm a full-time working actor. So it means every day I do something to help my career, but it does not mean I get paid every day. But I, like I said, I did bring more income in than was going out. And I was very, very proud of that and very happy about that. And I felt like I was contributing to the family because I hadn't had a full-time job in a very long time. And it meant a lot to me to be able to contribute financially.
And you are right. I mean, Mike has been at every premiere that every time I'm there, Mike's there just supporting, and he is super proud of you. But that's the other thing. People see it and they think, oh, that person must be making a ton of money. And it's like the grind you have to go through.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Until you get to that, to that point.
Yeah. And in the beginning, you don't get money because you're doing it like you're doing a lot of student films and students don't have money to pay you. But I don't work anymore without getting paid. And I haven't done that in years because I know my worth, which is a hard thing to say. But I know what I put into it. I know how much work it goes into it and how hard it is. And people see that now. People don't even ask me to do anything for free. And I will not answer an ad unless it's with a director that I've not met before, but I've seen his work and I really love. It's like a factor of three things. Is the director great? Is it organized? Does it pay? Or how's it going to, you know, do I have something like this on my reel already? So if I can hit 3 out of 5 buttons, then I will look at the project. But probably 9.910 times now, I will not do it without getting paid.
So you had said, you know, knowing your worth. So I'm going to take you back to this beginning mm-hmm. when a lot of our conversations were about confidence and stepping forward and, you know, and learning your worth. And my eyes are watering because these are conversations that there was 3 of us in those, in those group conversations, right?
Yes.
About knowing that. And that's part of the reason of this podcast I want to do is because people see the success. They don't see what it took emotionally, mentally, spiritually for some people to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean, even if you can like hone in exactly like that feeling of, am I going to be enough to get there?
Yeah, you asked me that question. I just completely skirted over by accident.
You did,
yeah, I did. So yes, there as an actor, you're always gonna be like, can I keep doing this? Can I keep doing this? Can I keep doing this? And I said before, I'm doing it because I it makes me so happy. But when you get to the point where, I'll give you an example. There's so many parts that I've had to audition and that I did not get, and I cried over them. I'm like, oh my God, I wanted this so bad. I so bad. And then probably like 5-6 years ago, I came up with this system. I have a recyclable bin under my computer desk. And when I get done self-taping and sending my audition in, I take those sides. They're called sides, by the way. And I put them in the recyclable thing underneath and I don't see them again. And I delete, after a couple of days, I'll delete my tapes because I have to transfer the tape from my phone to my computer, edit it with iMovie, and then I send it out. So I get rid of those as well. So it's like out of sight, out of mind. And as an actor, it really helps. It helps me very much because then I'm not dwelling on it, you know? And then I just focus on the next thing. And if you have to focus on the next thing. You have to constantly just want it to make it work. and then you put it behind, and then the hurt goes away after a while, and you know,
you can't dwell on it.
You can't. No, you cannot. It's not. It's a dog eat dog business. It's not a kind business. Especially with self tapes, you don't get any feedback. At least when you went into the room to audition, they would say, okay, can you try it this way? Or thank you very much. You would get something, or next, you know, but at least you have something. With a self tape, you don't hear back unless you get the part or you get a call back.
Do they have to give you a time frame so that you know when to expect?
No. If I have a really good, like sometimes I'll have a Zoom audition, as opposed to a self tape, which is cool, because you get to meet the producer and director. And then sometimes I'll say, hey, any chance, like, do you know when you're going to decide? And they're like, oh yeah, probably within a week or two. So then in my mind, I'm like, okay, if I don't hear from them, then, you know, or I'll say, will you let people know either way? I'm not really sure. There's a lot of people, or yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it really depends.
I just remember, you know, when we used to do like movie nights or whatever, and you just got started, one of the roles you always wanted to play, was in Steel Magnolias.
Yes.
And one of my favorite productions that I watched on stage was Steel Magnolias. And I don't think it was the part that you thought you wanted.
No.
Who did you want to be in Steel Magnolias?
I want to be Weezer.
Yeah. She would have played, been an amazing Weezer.
People are like, you're not old enough for Weezer. I'm like, I could be.
Maybe you can circle back to it.
Yeah.
But you know, so to watch you, right?
Yeah.
To be in, even though it wasn't the part that you wanted, just that whole production was probably by far one of my favorite, like as far as uplifting, already knew the storyline, you know, there was no surprises in it for me because you guys, you know, you did it the way that it was. But it was a joy for me to watch you be part of something that I knew you always wanted to be a part of.
Yeah, I absolutely love the film. I love the story. I love the camaraderie with the women and friends. And I did play the part of Malin. And that was a pretty dramatic part. And I just really loved the family unit. That is one cast that we still will get together and have lunch or dinner. Not all of us can get together at the same time, but we will try to get together. And that's Marcia Melly. She played Weezer, actually. She's a lovely woman and a great actor. So that's what I mean about the camaraderie and everything.
And that was at the Red House, the new location.
The big theater. It was very frightening for me. It was a last minute. I was a recast. So it was a last minute thing. So everybody had gotten together like a month before. I was terrified as hell. And the one review I got that showed it. And that was, I know I deserved it, but then I think I learned a lot from it as well. And I think that my performances after that were better. But I was just telling somebody the other day that I always say that my most like PTSD moment was reading that review, which was stupid. I won't ever read reviews. If you're in production, that's dumb. Okay. But because of how successful I've been lately, I can actually talk about it and not cry, which is really sad. I was 2018.
Yeah.
So, but I've learned my worth. I've learned that I am talented. And I have a lot to offer, and you know.
Yeah, and you know, just life in general. I was just talking to my girls about this because they both went off to college. You're not going to be everybody's cup of tea,
mm-hmm.
and it's okay that you're not everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah,
you know. And I think you know, I'm now. How old am I now? 50. Holy cow, I'm 50. But it probably took me 40 some years to remember that. And I think about that in my industry, you know. I'm going to go on appointments and not everybody's going. I'm not going to be the person that they necessarily want to work with. But what I learned is, and I tell my agents this and I tell my friends in the real estate industry, if they don't choose you, it wasn't the right fit anyway.
Right.
So you are constantly putting yourself out there. I mean, if you're talking about 40 different auditions to get one, I mean, that's a lot of times putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
But the roles that are meant for you, they come to you.
They do. They come to me 100%. And you know, if you get the role, that means there's thousands of other people that didn't. And, you know, it's tough. It's just tough. It really is. I mean, on the average for a backstage and Actors Access are the two platforms that actors use to get auditions besides their managers and such. But I just lost my train of thought. Backstage Actors Access. What was your question?
Well, I was just talking about, like, you had said that for every role that you got, there were thousands of people that didn't get.
Average is 3,000 submissions.
Really?
Per role.
Do you think that increased with COVID? Because I know one of the benefits you told me was you were able to work with instructors that you would have never met in person because it was in California or, you know, across the country somewhere.
Yeah.
And because everything went to Zoom during COVID. So yes. Do you believe that COVID opened up those doors?
Oh yeah, 100%. It was, like I said, it was definitely a blessing for me. I know it was a tragic event in everybody's life, but that opened doors for me. And I did, I had coaches in California, and I did improv with Second City in Chicago. Like these are things I never would have had the experience. Acting coaches in New York City, you know, and for me, and go to New York City is not a problem. Like, you know, I love to drive like you do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll drive to New York or Long Island or Buffalo for jobs all the time. But would I have done it to be coached by somebody like every week? No, it would have been lucrative for me. I would have gone broke first.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's Zoom is a great platform. I should have invested at the time.
Well, let's go back to the fact that you didn't, those things just didn't come to you. You researched, you found people.
Yes.
You sent email after email after email, just kind of getting your foot in the door.
Yep.
Right. And that's no matter what the industry is, there's so many people that just sit back and wait for things to come to them. So, you know, I say ever changing and evolving, but you know, people resist change, but then there's also people that hide from it, you know, and they don't go out and get it. So I surround myself, and people say this all the time, surround yourself with five people, you know, that you most admire.
Yeah.
And I definitely do. And as you know, you're one of them, because it's just in awe of everything that you've accomplished. And we were friends and we had a lot of fun, and our kids grew up, and, you know, we have stories that are not appropriate for this podcast of things, but I love you as a friend, but as someone who watches you and watched you grow, it's just like you just kept putting yourself out there. And we talked about, you know, the confidence that it takes and the confidence you had to build in yourself to be able to get to where you're sitting now. And I do remember that bad review, and I do know that it hurt. And I was hoping you wouldn't kick my camera over when I brought it up, but at the same time,
it's important to talk about. It is.
Because it's those things that people don't see. We don't put that on Facebook. We don't, right. You know, we don't brag about the times that got hurt. You know, that we got hurt or something didn't go our way.
Yeah.
Right. Those are private conversations that you have with your friends.
Yes.
You know, so we talked about you growing as an actor and what that means, but it also has affected you as a human being. Right. And you've changed and you've grown in that direction. So like, if you could go back to the 39-year-old self,
mm-hmm.
you know, what do you think that this industry and what you went through this industry has done to that person in making you who you are now? What do you see the biggest difference?
I think I'm definitely more patient. I am more tolerant. I am more understanding. I don't laugh too hard, Shelley. But my patience has definitely grown, because I have to be patient. It's not a hurry up thing. It's you do it and you wait and you wait and you wait, and then you don't hear anything, and then you get the next one and you wait and wait and wait. So again, it's my patience level has definitely gone up. My tolerance for certain individuals, I think, I'm more open, and you meet a lot of different people in this business, and the majority are wonderful, if you ask any actor, if you say, hey, have you always been confident? They're going to be like, hell no. I'm the most insecure person you've ever met in your life. Like, every actor I know has issues of some sort. Okay. So it's just so amazing to me that I can be in a room full of so many wonderful, talented people, but then we'll talk about, holy shit, I'm sorry, was there a bleep button?
No. Okay. Sorry. Actually, I almost put in like a little thing that said, hey, we're going live. Is there may be F-bombs. I've been kind of impressed with the
I'm impressed
language.
Too.
I am.
I'm very impressed with me. Thank you. The amount of, I left my train of thought again. Apparently, acting really makes your brain go nuts.
Well, you were just saying about the rooms and the confidence. And
People are
human. At the end of the day, every single person, I remember I go to a lot of conventions and I look at people standing on the stage, and I met somebody about 5 years ago, and you would have never known it was the first talk that she gave. And then I, you know, I met her recently again in DC, and she said, I have no recollection of what I said or how I said it or how it went. But you got to, like you said, you and Ben went to that first audition because it was on your bucket list, and you had Rachel, who, you know, she's amazing. She's doing all kinds of things in her life now, but who encouraged you. So sometimes it's just that encouragement, you know, that helps you get to where you need to be. Sometimes it's the fear. Sometimes it's bad things that push you out the door. Right. But sometimes it is good things, and it's support.
Yes.
You know, and that's, I think, you know, and looking at the family support you've had, and your family has grown since we became friends, and whether it's, you know, blood relations or friend relationships, they support you. I don't know if you have, or anybody else that you do a role with, has as much support sitting in the audience as you do.
I don't disagree with you. I don't. I think my friends are just amazing people, and they've always been there for me. But I try to pay it forward and go to their kids' things, you know, or go to their meetings or open houses, you know, when
Thank
I can.
You.
So yeah, it's like, and I wish I could go to all of them, because that's me. I'm social, and I love being with a group of people, especially with a group of women. It's fun.
And well, and the reason people come up and support is because you do support, right? Which brings me to the last topic. I mean, not that we can't talk about other things, but I think it's important to put it out there. And you're going to have to explain it to me, just like explain to everybody else, because I don't fully understand. But you talk about paying it forward, and you started a group here locally. You're part of, maybe a founder of, the group locally that is really there to bring people together in education and stuff. So can you talk a little bit about your Monday group that you helped put together?
Yeah, I would love to. It's called Syracuse Acting Studio, so SAS for short. My very good friend, Joe Cunningham, who is a director, producer, writer, actor in Syracuse, he asked me to be in his film, The Sentinel, 3 years ago. And we became friends. And then he had a dream of doing an acting studio here in Syracuse, like the one in New York City, but not to teach, more to gather, because he's not classically trained. I'm not classically trained. We're never going to say we're the school of acting ever. It's really just a place that people can meet. We do it once a month on a Monday at our new location at the Mercantile Market at in the lower level of Wildflowers downtown. And thank you, Michael Hackerty. We get on average between 40 and 50 people.
That's crazy.
It is a beautiful, huge location now. We started at a small location for a place called Safe Space. It was beautiful. Tracy Dando was the person that led us up there. And unfortunately, they lost their grant, so we had to relocate. But we will always remember her fondly for that and to support us. But yeah, we've been doing it straight now for a year and a half. We have not missed 1 month. It's every month different. So 1 month may be scene study. 1 month may be improv. 1 month may be guest speakers. You know, where we'll do a panel, you know, of actors or directors. And then a couple times we've been at American High, which is the production company here in Syracuse. They are wonderful. They're so giving of their facility, and people love going there because it is a production studio. So we can't thank them enough. But yeah, we, you know, if you ever thought of acting, if you're a phenomenal actor and you have something to bring to the group, if you're just curious, if you're a writer, a director, a producer, please come, because it's free. We do ask if you could just give a donation at the end of the night, and that helps us with supplies, with paper, with snacks and water. But it is free, and you do learn a lot, and we've definitely created a family, definite family with this, and we're very happy about it.
And that's the piece when you were talking about paying it forward.
Yeah.
Whether that's where you were thinking about going, but that's where my mind went to, because I just remember when it was a thought and you mentioned, hey, we're going to do this. And then I do follow it on Facebook. Obviously you share it a lot on your personal page, and also on your Laura Stisser acting page. And the most recent one, I was just, again, it had to be 40 plus people there.
Yeah, it was great. And Joe is, he's the mastermind of this whole thing. I was honored when he asked me to do this with him, but he's the grand poobah of this. And he will always be very humble and say no, no, no. And I will always say yes, yes, yes. But I, you know, we have an amazing relationship, a great bond, and we're going to continue to create things in the future as well. We just did a movie together called Amaraya.
Actually, I am going to share something real quick.
Oh, look at you being all prepared.
So I have to share this funny story. Oh, there's a group text because, as we've mentioned a couple times, we're friends. And I can't even remember what the verbiage was in the group text, but I didn't see it right away because I probably had an appointment. But I popped over my phone and said, ignore the image. And the image that was in this group text was actually this picture that you're looking at. And it was in color. And I thought, oh my goodness, I showed it to my boyfriend, Jamie. And I said, Jamie, I think Laura's having a really hard time. It was by far the worst photo I've ever, because she's beautiful, right? It was the worst photo I ever saw. So when this poster came up for this movie, and I thought it was the exact same picture, I realized that she was intending to look like she was stressed out. The cigarette did not surprise me. Not that she's a smoker. Did not shock me. But what is this movie about?
So I will say that Joe wrote this. He wrote this literally in one night. He had me in mind for the lead the entire time. It is a long short, so about 30, 35 minutes. And it is about an ex-CIA operative, which I play. My name is Rose. And something happens tragically with one of her team, and she loses it and leaves the organization, or kind of asks to leave the organization, and becomes addicted to alcohol and certain pills. So this is something that happens 5 years in the 5 years later, where now she realizes that what happened to the operative wasn't, it was something that happened on the inside, on her team. And now she's looking to get revenge on that, because this person was like a daughter to her. Oh. We did it in 3 weekends. And we had a lot of extras, yours truly included there. It was fantastic. We did it all over Syracuse. So a lot of people are going to recognize a lot of the landmarks and things. We're waiting for the soundtrack to be finished. And hopefully that we'll have it all edited and produced by the beginning of next year, probably. Hopefully.
Wow. So again, talking about patience, because I can't remember. I mean, it was a while ago when we got together to help you out. It was in March. Yeah. I remember we had to decorate for a different holiday.
Yeah. Pizza Man. So Jim Delia, who I love, he donated his space for us for this film. It was actually St. Patrick's time. But I said, is there any way we can bring Christmas decorations? Yeah, bring them in. I want me to go in my basement. I can get some for you. I'm like, no, you're doing enough. We'll be fine. So Joe, being Joe, had a tree. You know, we had lights. And it was cool because it was Christmas. So the green on the St. Patrick's Day stuff kind of blended in.
Yeah.
But was also a dream sequence. So, you know, dreams are kind of wonky anyway. So if you see a Christmas tree and then you see a clover leaf, it's just a dream.
It's just fine.
Yeah.
Well, I had asked Laura to be on the podcast with me over a month ago, just because of the way our schedules were. And when this poster came up and I saw the picture, because again, I was worried about her when I saw the picture in the group text, came up, and I thought this is perfect. Because again, we're going back to the bucket list, you know, just over 10 years ago. And now to see your face and, you know, on a poster promoting a movie that you were just a part of, that I didn't even realize that was the movie I was the extra in. She just said, you want to be an extra? And I jumped at the chance.
Yeah. And I co-produced it too. So I asked Joe, I'm like, can I help? He's like, you want to co-produce? I'm like, sure. I don't know how to do that, but I want to do that. So, and you know, I looked, what's a producer do? And you know, what are my functions and things like that? So, so that was interesting. And I've helped Joe with his Sentinel movie. I helped assistant direct with that too. And that was, we did a huge scene at American High, and that was like 30 extras there, and we were filming all day long. So That's good experience for me. I mean, the behind the camera is just as hard as it is in front of the camera. So more labor intensive, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be curious to see where the next 5 to 10 years takes you, because you are always growing and challenging yourself to something else. So just to kind of reflect back to, again, the meaning of this podcast, you know, always evolving and changing, and then reflecting back, like, what do you have to say to somebody who, even if it's not acting or it's not real estate, right, but it's something that's on their bucket list, or they're just caught in this, like, infinity cycle of every single day is exactly the same and they want to branch off and do something different. You know, what kind of advice or, you know, what could you offer to them that maybe help them break that cycle to try something different, to make a change?
This is cliche, but you can't be successful unless you fail. So you have to really throw yourself. You just have to take that first step and maybe do it with somebody else. Maybe, like I said, I grabbed my son.
Yeah.
And we did it together. Just take that first step and you'll be surprised what you can do. I surprise myself every day.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody the other day too about, you don't even know the people that are supporting you until you fall. And they're the ones that start to lift you back up. Just mm-hmm. They just keep going. It happens.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely.
I guess it is cliche, but that's really, really good advice. Cause if you fail and you quit, you didn't learn anything.
No, you didn't.
You know, mm-hmm. And then you're right back in that cycle that you were in before.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I love you. Thank you for doing this with me.
Thank you. Can I plug a couple things while I'm here?
Yeah, you absolutely can.
Okay. Please watch Dogs on the Sendero. It is now streaming on Apple TV and Prime. And then my other movie, A44, which is more of the horror, if you're into horror, which is phenomenal. And both of these movies were filmed locally, that you can see on Google Play and YouTube TV. And I am also in a Christmas movie that will be out, I'm hoping, like November, that will be on the Great American Family Channel called Homes for Christmas. So I
am that cheesy, you know, love story kind mm-hmm. of a thing. So of all the things she told me she had coming up, that is the one that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, so do most of my friends. Yeah, most of my friends are all into that. And I'm more into the dark thriller type horror stuff. But I love all genres. But this is definitely a switch for me. So, and I'm very happy to do so. The production company in Buffalo were amazing to work with.
Nice. And when did that one come out?
I'm hoping by this Christmas, they're supposed to put like 20 films out in the next 5 years.
Wow.
So I don't know if they're going to save it for next year, but I'm hoping this Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when that happens, believe me, I will be broadcasting it all over social media so that we can all watch it. So I am going to end this podcast with one of my bestest friends, but please, any of the things she just mentioned, look for her out there, follow her Facebook page, which I'll have in the post. But it's Laura Stitzer, actor. It's easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
And then show her support and some love. So everybody have a great day.
Thank you so much, Shelly. Appreciate it.